We're back on the Carolina Outdoors. Bill, I'm still being amazed by our last guests. Scott and Samantha Brown heading off 1st of November to spend a year and a half on a 42-foot sailboat.
Yeah.
That sounds big till you go over the horizon, and that thing shrinks tremendously.
Don, let's clean that up just a little bit, too, because, like you just said, Fruit Bat's 42-foot. They bought it, restored it, so to speak, been working on it, that sort of thing. It's only the two of them that are taking this trip on, and as you said off air, it's a 24-hour-a-day kind of project. You don't get to check out at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Somebody's got to be up.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of places to anchor as you're going from here to Panama, but when you go into the Pacific Ocean, there ain't no more dropping anchor. I got a feeling that's a night and day kind of thing there, and I'm just amazed that the cojones it takes to pull that off.
Listen, so that's all the more reason to go to Sailing Fruit Bat to follow along, because this young couple is taking it on, and it's just the two of them. That could be another song right there, along with Sailing Away.
That makes the Appalachian Trail seem pretty reasonable, you know. I mean, you know, there are other people, there are places that you can contact humanity.
Well, and that adventure story took a right turn in there with a little dog story mixed in with the naming of the boat.
There you go.
I was really trying to remember what the length is where a boat becomes a ship, but it's not 42 feet.
It's not.
It's still
too big,
a boat.
Too big to row, so it's got to be a ship. would be a sailing ship in my mind.
You know what, Don? Hey, I got something. We should have asked Jake Rash, because he is a biologist, a researcher, and all of that. And I guess this is not brand new news, but Mark Price of the Charlotte Observer had it, and we've posted it, or are going to post it, or it is posted, I guess, on the Jesse Brown's Facebook page. But listen to this. There was a presumed extinct fish in the Smoky Mountains, and it was a catfish, and it has come back. It is back, a venomous fish with a painful sting. It is the Smoky Mad Tom. Now, it's not
Smoky
one.
Smoky Mad Tom.
It's the Smoky Mad Tom. It's a venomous catfish, long believed to be extinct, has been found. It was found really back in the 1980s. But it's really bad news for people who like to walk the streams in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and the Little Tennessee River system is where these Smoky Mad Toms live. They grow to be less than 3 inches in length, but the spines on the Mad Tom, Smoky Mad Tom to be proper, deliver a painful sting similar to maybe a wasp or bee sting, something like that, when you step on it. It's one of their defense mechanisms so that their predators can't get them.
Well, now on a small channel cat, for example, when you are trying to take him off the hook,
yeah,
you can get cut on their front fins and things, and they have a venom as well that is quite irritating, and the antidote is on their stomach. So if you get cut by a little channel cat, for example, if you rub the cut on the stomach of the catfish, it neutralizes it. I wonder if that works on one of those guys.
I don't know. You know what?
I think I'd leave him alone. I don't think I want to find out.
Good night. You know, once you get stung, it hurts so bad, who's got time to rub that thing
on
your belly?
Especially if you step on that guy. That guy is, no, not your belly, his belly.
Oh.
Don't put him in your shirt, Bill.
Listen, so the fish, which has no food value to humans, was considered extinct until the early 1980s, when small numbers were found by biologists in the Great Smoky Mountains Park. This is all according to park officials. It's still considered a federally endangered, but since its rediscovery, they have fought to protect the habitat. And the habitat is the biggest thing in keeping tourists and visitors and fishermen from moving rocks in streams, they say, is the best way to keep and preserve the species there.
It's Scary little critter.
I know.
I'm glad he only gets 3 inches.
Listen, they rely on the clean water, just as you were. We were speaking earlier in the earlier segment. So
he's a cold water catfish, huh?
He's a cold water catfish, 3 inches in length, and he is. He belongs there.
Was this discovered by fellows looking for Sasquatch?
It may have been. Again, we missed our Bigfoot Festival thing back in September, Don.
So. Yeah, but we can go to the Woolly Worm Festival.
That's right. Hey, this weekend.
That's right.
Banner Elk. So, and I love it. You know what? After you get out of elementary school, you figure out it. All elementary schools are history, but the historic Banner Elk Elementary School is where the Woolly Worm Festival is going to be held. The 42nd festival. Since 1978 or so.
Well, speaking of festivals, let's have a review of the South Carolina State Fair and a preview of the North Carolina State Fair.
That's right. We're ending up this weekend. The South Carolina State Fair ends. I got an opportunity to go down there. That's where my showing of cattle, I was at my finest. Yes, I was the kid who had the wild heifer calf that was bouncing around the ring. That was me.
Been there, done that. How come we got to show the crazy cow, Dad?
Only old number 38. Boy, she was crazier than could be. But anyway, a 10-year-old boy getting drug around the arena, I'll never forget it. Those were the good
old
days.
How red was your face?
It was red. It was red, but we won't go there. Hey, it is worth going there for the livestock shows, and I don't know who's finishing up the weekend, but I had an opportunity to head down there and see the swine show, the pig show. Now, that's a whole nother thing to see. Did you ever do that growing up?
Ham and bacon, yes, sir.
Now, if you get down there on a hot October day at the South Carolina State Fair and the pigs get mad, they start to bite each other. In fact, they start to fight each other and bite each other. And, of course, all the handlers out there have a small stick and a board that they try to keep the herd these things around. And sometimes they don't want to be herded around. So you can pay for
it. Yeah, you think the mad cow is bad, try the hogs, right? All right, now down to the important stuff. What'd you have to eat?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm a traditionalist, I must say. So I head straight into corn dog, French fries, fried mushrooms, and, of course, elephant ears or funnel cake, whichever I'm in the mood for. So I eat all of the above.
What'd you put on top of that funnel cake?
Oh, I stick with just the old powder, the white powdered sugar.
Get it all over your shirt?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. I don't do any of the other stuff.
Oreos or Twinkies?
No. I just don't even, of course, once you're filled up, but I have gotten old enough that I enjoy going into all of the contests that go on to see who gets the blue, the red, or the purple ribbons, and I will cover anything from the baked goods to the quilts to the artwork to, I mean, I just enjoy walking those hallways to see who's winning what.
Speaking of contests, do they have a husband calling contest at that fair?
Close. They do. And I cannot give a report on the North Carolina State Fair, but the South Carolina State Fair does have a spouse calling and a kid calling, and it is from the PA system there on the fairgrounds. There is a very prominent display that stays there year-round, and it is called the Rocket. I can't go into any more detail than that, but oftentimes you will hear on the PA system, would Tom Bernard head over to meet his wife at the Rocket? Or would Tommy Wins head over? His parents are lost. They are awaiting him at the Rocket. So that's the closest thing to a husband or wife calling contest that they had.
Any of those I've ever seen did not need a PA, I'll tell you that. Some of them old farm ladies can call you up from the back 40.
Well, do not be alarmed if you did not or cannot head down to the close of the South Carolina State this weekend, because in Raleigh, the North Carolina State Fair is wide open. It's going to be going on for another week and then some through October 27th. And it's a whole lot of similar things. Of course, Both fairs started off in South Carolina celebrating 150 years. North Carolina is way on up there as well. It's celebrating the agricultural bounties that both states have, and it gives you a little bit of insight into areas that you may not know or not think about. Of course, in North Carolina, the Christmas tree farms that we are about to give all our money to as we head into that season, all the way across, still tobacco and the hogs and swine and cattle and all of the crops that are held there, including pumpkins.
There you go. Pumpkins everywhere right now.
That's right. So I had the opportunity to head over. I'm leaving the North Carolina State Fair now again through October 27th. But I had an opportunity to head up to the Virginia Creeper Trail. Don, that's one of my favorite places to go, ride a bicycle straight down a hill. And I passed a whole bunch of full pumpkin patches.
Oh, I tell you what, they grow a lot of those in Virginia.
I didn't jump out and get any. I didn't bring any home. But anyway, you'll be able to see state records at the state fairs and pick your own. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. Special thanks to our guest, Jake Rash from the North Carolina Resource Commission, as well as Scott Brown, captain of Sailing the Bat, as he heads off around the world. Special thanks to Ed Billick, Ford Don Yeager, and Bill Barty saying, get outdoors, pick up your trash. And we'll see you next time right here on the Carolina Outdoors.